Oongarali Majinu, Paula Kruger, ABC Radio, Canberra Wurundjeri.
Now, with you now is children's author, Ursula Dubosarsky. And she is an acclaimed Australian children's author. She's been writing for children and teens since 1989. Her books include a personal favourite of mine, The Terrible Plop, about a strange sound heard by the lake which scares nearly all the animals nearby, and The Blue Cat, about a group of children in Sydney during World War II and a mysterious cat.
I only know the cat is blue. He sits alone. His needs are few. His eyes are green, his teeth are white. His fur is like the sky at night. He breathes and stares, and then he blinks. And nobody knows what he thinks. His body shakes when he's asleep, with secret anger, dark and deep. There's nothing, nothing we can do. I only know the cat is blue.
That's the sound of The Blue Cat. It sounds like the film noir of the children's literature world. With you right now is Ursula Dubosarsky, who wrote that book, as well as 60 others. She joins you here in Canberra. Because she's visiting Canberra, she has just been announced as the official Australian Children's Laureate for the next 2 years. And the role encourages kids and their parents to read. Ursula, welcome to Afternoons. Was that your voice we heard on that recording?
I'm afraid that was my rather sinister voice. So the whole book is not quite as sinister as that, but it starts with that poem.
I love it. Did you write it with the intention of having that, you know, really nice noir feel to it?
Well, look, strangely enough, I wrote it when I was stuck on a long plane flight and the monitor wasn't working, so I couldn't watch anything on TV. And I sat there in the darkness and I wrote this strange poem, and that in the end turned into the book. So I have to be grateful to, at the time I was very annoyed to be on a 12-hour flight with nothing to watch on TV.
Ursula, I'm just grateful you didn't have a Sudoku book.
That's right. Yes. No, I hadn't brought anything with me, as I was relying on the endless
So you had to get creative.
Yeah.
Now, what made you, I mentioned there that you've been writing for children and teens since the late 80s, since 1989. You know, what made you start writing for kids and young people?
Look, it is an interesting and slightly mysterious question. I wanted to be a writer from when I was 6 years old. That's when I decided I want to be a writer. That's when I learned to read and learned to write. But I guess, you know, the next 20 or so years were a kind of voyage of discovery as to what I really wanted to write. I didn't think to myself, I want to be a children's writer. But when I was in my early 20s, or sorry, more like 26, somebody suggested to me, why don't you try and write a children's story? And I was lying in bed at the time and I started to write it. And I guess you just feel this recognition of the zone that you want to create in. You know, so it's presumably if the friend hadn't suggested it, I may have come across it naturally, but it was interesting because everything else I was trying to write wasn't working. But as soon as I started on this idea of a book for a child, I found my voice, I guess.
Was there a freedom there that you didn't have when you were writing the
other piece? That's an interesting question. I've never thought of it that way, but that's such an interesting way of looking at it because that is certainly how I feel about writing for children. Like often people will feel it's a kind of constriction, but frankly, for me anyway, it's the opposite feeling. And I think, sorry to throw it on you, but I think you might have found what I've often tried to explain to people as to how it happened. And I think freedom probably is something strongly to do with it.
So with that freedom, where do you get your ideas from? Where do you get your inspiration from?
Look, you know, when children ask me that in schools, I usually use a kind of analogy because it is hard to describe, but I say to them, well, it's like I'm swimming, you know, under the water and I've got a net and there are all these sort of shoals of little shining fish swimming around me in schools, and I just have to sort of reach out with my net and try and catch one of them going past. And it's almost instinctive, I think. You know, it's you have a kind of intuition when you hear something or you see something or you read something or something happens, and you have this sort of odd feeling of recognition that there's something in that. There's something I can write. It may not be for someone else, but there's something I can do with that. And I guess then, you know, those intuitions are usually correct, and so it's worth the sort of further exploration. And then, you know, I shouldn't say painful, but it's not an easy process getting to the end of that discovery. I don't ever get to the end of it, but I find it, you know, sort of chiseling away at what I want to write about is you know, it doesn't flow out of me. Let's put it that way.
And I want to know a bit more about that creative process, Ursula. You know, how do you work in a day? Is it something that you can just book a few hours and go, hey, I'm going to go hard at it for this and I want to achieve this? When you're writing children's literature, you know, what's the best way of working for you?
Well, look, in a funny way for me, I've got three children and they're all old now, but when they were little, and, you know, you're at home with children and obviously nobody wants to visit you when you have children. So you're quite isolated and you're just sort of sitting there. And strangely for me, that situation really disciplined me. And I got extremely good at that period in my life. As you know, when the baby is asleep, I know he'll be asleep from, you know, once you've gotten him into his hopeful habits, he'll be asleep from X to X. And it was almost like doing an exam. It was almost like they gave me the adrenaline because you just knew that was your only time of uninterrupted attention. So even after the children all, you know, grew up and went to school and I no longer had that kind of forced discipline, I think I kind of carried that with me, that it's a sort of, I can't write all day. I do fairly concentrated bursts for a couple of hours, and it does afterwards feel like I've done a tough exam.
Exhausted.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired after that. So that is more or less how I work, yeah.
So you're writing, you have these intense bursts and you write, and you also mentioned, you know, being in school and, you know, talking to kids. What's different about the process you go through when you're thinking about what kids are interested in, you're writing the book, and then you've got the book in front of them and you're telling them the story? You know, what did you ever get surprised when you do that by kids?
Look, I guess when you're writing for children, you're trying to think like a child. But I tell you what, children are an astonishing revelation and they have thoughts you could never think of. So it's a sort of lesson every time, really, that the private life or the internal life of children is hidden and it's a mystery. And once we leave that world, it's pretty hard to really get back to it. So I'm just attempting to get back to it. But that's one of the big joys, actually, of talking with children about my books and reading to them, those completely surprising responses. And they're also so open. That's a really, you know, they close up as they get older, as we all know. By the time they're about 11 or 12, they tend to be much more guarded. But the younger they are, they're very poetic, actually, young children, and very open and strained.
Well, we wouldn't want them to be normal, would we,
no,
Ursula?
No, exactly.
There's too much of that in the world. With you right now is children's author Ursula Dibasarski, and she's written 60 books, and she has been capturing the attention of young readers from infants through to teens, and she is the official Australian Children's Laureate for the next 2 years, and that role is to encourage kids and parents to read. Ursula, can I ask you, you're talking about writing these books and capturing children. Was there a book that captured you as a child?
Look, I was a little bit late learning to read, but before I learned to read, I loved books. You know, I loved looking at them, making up the stories, pretending to read, all of that. And I loved telling stories to myself and to other people and hearing people tell stories. And then when I started to read, I think when you sort of do finally learn to read, particularly if you're a bit late learning to read, you do very much remember those first books that you learned to read. And so they're very, you know, they fill my heart up and I've still got them. One is by Dr. Seuss called I Had Trouble in Getting to Solar Sulu, and that's a rhyming story. And in fact, this is something I always tell children that it was, I mean, I read that book, you know, I would have read it 1,000 times. I know it off by heart. I've still got my copy. And that was definitely what, in a sense, when I wrote The Terrible Plop, that was my lifelong dream, was to write a rhyming story like Dr. Seuss. So that was, that's certainly something that meant a lot to me. I guess, and what is great, I think, about childhood is children, you know, I was certainly like this in the library, you just sort of would go up and down the shelves and pull out books, and you have this sort of spirit of exploration and adventure. So I was more just a very big reader, you know. So I think after those first few early books that just, you know, would just became, you know, your touchstone, I could reel off, well, perhaps I couldn't reel them off, but I, you know, there would be many, many titles, but I wouldn't name a particular title or a particular author. You know, as a child, I was a child of my period, and I read a ton of Ina Blyton, as children still do, perhaps not with the extremity as we did in the 1970s, but, you know, I read a ton of it. And it's interesting, you know, because, like, my mum was a librarian, and she probably didn't think much of Ina Blyton, but I always remember, perhaps I heard her saying it to someone else, or did she say it to me? But, and I think it's excellent advice when you're thinking about your children's reading. She just took the view that you know, you've got to discover for yourself what you want to read, that there's a sort of personal ownership of reading, and that you shouldn't be made to feel embarrassed or ashamed that you're not, you know, reading good books or something like that, that eventually you will find, you know, what you really want to read, and that it shouldn't, I suppose she was sort of not classifying books into good and bad books in a way for children, that it's more important just to say there's this huge world of books out there and go for it and find what you want.
That seems such a positive piece of advice to put out in the world, Ursula. You know, now that you're the official Australian children's laureate, you know, what would you like to, do you feel a bit of pressure? What would you like to bring to that role?
Look, I do feel pressure because one of my favourite sayings to friends and so on is, I never give advice. So I'm now in a position where I'm sort of supposed to be, in a sense, giving advice. But I'm kind of focusing my advice on one sort of mission or project for the laureate, and that is I wanted to think of something very practical and doable that could only lead to more children reading and teenagers reading, and that is to get your child or teenager to join the local library. Actually go down there, get a library card with their name on it, and then take them regularly to the library. And, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday, you know, my child just does not want to read. My view would be, this is my advice, is, you know, you would go down to the library, and libraries are fantastic, sort of quite vital, great places to be in, and full of kids and young people. Get them to join and say to them, find one book in this library you want to take home. And, you know, that child might very well say, there is not a single book in this library I have any interest in. And I would accept that and go home, and then I would go back the next week, 10 minutes,
and
the same
again.
Thing, because it is a long process, you know, but it's the only way. I mean, we all want our children to be good readers. We don't want reading to be just the province of a select few who are good readers. You know, in an affluent sort of peaceful country like Australia, you know, the children should all be pretty good readers. And I think the only way, we have to accept that to be a good reader, you have to read, you
True.
Know, you just have to read. That's all there is to it. Yeah.
Look, Ursula, I'm glad you're in a position for giving advice. That sounds like good advice to me.
Yeah, right. Well, that's nerve-wracking.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And congratulations on the new role and such, you know, and for bringing so many wonderful books into our lives. With you now, that is children's author. Her name is Ursula Dubosarski. And as I mentioned, she's written a lot of books, and she is also the official Australian children's laureate. So that advice, just take them down to the library and let them pick a book.